Turn in your Bibles to Romans. In the fifth chapter, we'll look at the sixth verse mainly this morning. We'll read more than that to get the context. But the sixth verse almost stands alone when we read it. Again, Paul is preaching the doctrines of grace, talking about how we've been justified by faith, and having been justified, we have peace with God. We have access into this grace when we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. All those things that come, but he also says we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we already see the love of God in a mighty way just in those scriptures. But we really begin to see it in verse 6. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation," or the atonement is what the King James says. But the first scripture in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." So we see great hope for sinners here. And for ourselves, we were all ungodly at one time. Brother Lamar did a good job of talking about that in Galatians today. We're without strength. We are still without strength if it's not the Holy Spirit giving us strength of the Lord Jesus Christ or God himself. But he died for the ungodly. That is, he died when we hated him. It wasn't, as some would think, maybe I'll do a little good and that'll please him. We weren't even that good. No. We died while we were ungodly, God haters. The Bible will describe it in many ways. It says we were enmity against God. Our flesh hates God. The very, very body and the very thought processes that we have hates God. And still, without strength, no strength to come to God for salvation. Had he said, "Come to me for salvation," we wouldn't have had the strength to do it. We would have still remained ungodly. But because of the grace of God, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And we should dwell on that. We should think on that. How much the grace of God, how much Christ's death means to you and to me that are true believers. And if there's some that are not yet, understand that you have a hope that he died for you too. And so we rejoice in that and we see his love towards us. We saw that in a different way. And again, it's how Paul is going through here, and it sounds like he's saying the same thing as, again, Brother Lamar said, but he does say the same thing a lot of times with just a little something added to it. So you have to read closely. In verse 3 he says, "For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness And I'll stop there. And it's much like what he just said, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The difference there is he's teaching about justification. Here he's talking about the love of Jesus Christ dying for us. Specifically, what the death of Christ accomplished. What did it accomplish? And we need to understand what that did accomplish this morning. Without strength, helpless, unregenerate sinners are spiritually dead and incapable of doing anything to help themselves. This is proven time and time again in the Word of God. If you will, turn to John in the sixth chapter. Look at verse 44. I can get over there if I've got it marked right. John 6, well, go back, if you will, to all the way back to 34. John chapter 6, verse 34. And I want you to keep in mind what he said here, that we are spiritually dead and incapable of doing anything to help ourselves. And listen to what he says in the Gospel of John, which is not going to be different from Romans or Galatians or Thessalonians or any other book of the Bible. They're going to coincide. They're going to agree with one another. They say it differently. That's because we're ignorant and we need to hear it differently, I suppose. So listen to this. In verse 34, he said, "Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always." He's talking about the bread from heaven. In verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." What happens if we don't eat bread? We die, don't we? We don't have substance to keep us alive. "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Now he talks about the spiritual emphasis of this. "But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." In verse 37 says, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." That tells me that as we're drawn by the grace of God, and we'll see that in the latter part of this, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus receives us, wraps his arms around us, as it were, and he says, "I will by no means cast that one out that comes to me." And that's what we call eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hold to that. We hope in that. And we believe that to be so because the Word of God teaches it over and over and over and over again. And so we can believe that without hesitating. He said, "For I have come," in verse 38, "for I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me." And God sent him down from heaven. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up at the last day." That refers back to what Brother Lamar said today. He said he chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. So that's what he's talking about when he talks about that there. "All that the Father has given me," it's already been done in the mind of God. And so he says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Down in verse 44, just to save some time, "No one can come unto me." Put a period there if you want to. That'd be hopeless. "No one can come unto me." There's not a period there. "Unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So we see the work of God the Father. We see the work of the Holy Spirit without him being mentioned. When we see that drawing, that's the drawing of the Holy Spirit. That's the effectual call. Jesus Christ doing his work of dying on the cross of Calvary. But he says we have eternal security in the Father. The same thing that he's telling us in Romans 6 when we began reading it. Ephesians 2:1, if you will, turn there. These are familiar scriptures with you, but we need to be reminded about them from time to time. Yeah, I'll get it if I... Donnie, you didn't take Ephesians out of my Bible this morning. You could have. Sometimes I wonder. Oh. Ephesians 2:1. And listen to what he says here. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, we've read several scriptures and all of them have said we've been dead or without strength. In other words, man is created in a fallen nature. His ability to come to God is nil. Nil means zero. He cannot come to God on his own volition. There's nothing in him that you can talk to him all day about the gospel. And if God is not working in his heart, there's not a little flicker there. There's not some kind of faith hidden down in that ungodliness that's going to latch on to the gospel so they can understand what you're saying, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That doesn't happen. The way a man is born again is when Almighty God opens his heart. That's what he means when he says, all the Father gives me will come to me. He draws them to me. And so those that are drawn to Christ come to Christ and they'll be saved. And that's what he means by that. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Not sick in trespasses and sin, but dead in trespasses and sins. That's another thing I've heard, that man's sick. I mean, he needs a remedy. The remedy is Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you, he's not sick. He's dead. And he certainly needs the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a thing he can do about it. He's under God's volition. If God has chosen him in Christ before the foundation of the world, in time he'll come to the Father. If he hasn't, he'll go straight to hell. And you know what made the difference? It pleased God that it be that way. I don't understand that. But it pleased God. That's all we have in the Word of God to satisfy our knowledge of that. And what really mystifies me is that he chose any of us. What mystifies me is that there is an elect that God loved and chose, and Christ came to earth and died for and redeemed and will take to be glorified in heaven. That's what amazes me, not that he didn't choose us all. Matter of fact, he said, few there be that find him. Many there be that go the straight and narrow way. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. Why in the world would God save something like that? We didn't even want to be saved. We hated God. Amen. Didn't know we was on the way to hell, but we hated him. We didn't want to come to him. But thankfully in Ephesians it says, but God. There's a lot of but gods in here. We thank God there is too. But God, why did he do it? Who is rich in mercy. because of His great love wherewith He loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, and reading all that back there in the second, third chapter is what that means, being dead in trespasses. Who made us alive? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Saved by the grace of God. Saved by His mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. I'm going to tell you something. When it says He's rich in mercy, and perhaps He saved millions and millions already, and here we are, and He's going to save millions more, perhaps. You know what happens to that mercy? It doesn't start running out. He hadn't lost one bit of the mercy that He's rich in. From the first one He saves to the last one He saves, God is rich in mercy. And we thank God He's so.
Praise God.
We thank God that it's like that. In due time, the Bible says, at the moment God has chosen. Again, you don't have to turn to this, but you heard that this morning with Brother Lamar's verse 4 in Galatians 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of as sons. When God chooses, the time that He chooses, to save us is when we'll be saved. Does that excuse us from praying for our family, for our friends, for our neighbors, for those who have spit in Jesus' face just like we have? That doesn't excuse us at all. God gives us the opportunity to present Christ before them. A dying man or woman who needs the grace of God, and we have the opportunity to, in a very plain way, explain to them the way of salvation. We have that opportunity. God has given that to us. Blows me away. We're the ambassadors of Christ, given the word of reconciliation and the what? Ministry of reconciliation. He wouldn't give us words if He didn't give us a ministry to go to it. And so our ministry is to tell people about Christ, that He can be found. Now, what God does with that individual is none of our business. He's either God's or He's not God's, but I'll tell you what He's got. He's got responsibility. He's got accountability. When you've told him about the love of God and the grace of God and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, all you got to do is repent of your sins and believe on His name and be saved, and they don't do it, they're going to be accountable for that the day of judgment. The word does not come back void. I've told y'all several times that I wondered about that a lot of times. I said, you know, I don't see many people being saved. But then it dawned on me that's what it was. That the word is life unto life and death unto death. It's life unto those that choose life. And it's death unto those that choose death. Or rather choose to remain, to stay in death. And so we see that in the Word of God. Again, in verse 6, it said Christ died for the ungodly. God's love for His own is unwavering because it is not based on how lovable we are. Aren't you thankful that that's the way that is? We're just like this. We're all over the map. We don't, you know, we're not consistent. We're up and down, all around, in a hole, up so high we can't hardly breathe, down so low we can't hardly see the sky. That's who we were. God's not like that. God's consistent. Those that He chose in Christ, He'll consistently save. Amen. As He chooses to do so. And that's His prerogative. And it said, God's love for His own is unwavering because it is not based on how lovable we are, but on the consistency of His own character. Does His character change? No. Does it change? God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. God's supreme act of love came when we were at our most undesirable. We're not built that way. We're going to pass over the undesirable. We're going to go for the shiny, the good looking. You know, we're that way. That's the way we are. It's the way the flesh is. But hopefully when we change by the grace of God, we become more noticeable, more compassionate. Romans 8. Told you I'd finally get to it. I was going to get to this. We're going to stay here all day. Romans 8:28. You've heard a thousand times. 8:28 and 30. Now listen to this. This is electing grace. And some of you may not be as familiar with it as others are, but it's in the Bible. And if you have any questions, ask your preacher. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. But it's here, and I'm going to show you how clear it is in the Word of God. You need to know it. It's the truth of God. You need to know God's truth. You don't need to know something that's a lie. So, verse 28. Of the 8th chapter. And we know. Alright, listen. This says we know. That means we know. We're not guessing. We know. If I know something, I know my address, I know my phone number, I know my wife, I know my children. I know them. Intimately, I know that. Some things I don't know. This says we know. So listen to what you know as a child of God. If you don't, catch up. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The called are also the elect of God. Also another word is the chosen one. Those that are chosen. And those all things there are all things good and bad, by the way. Understand that. Amen. The bad things that come in your life have been just as sanctified as the good things that have come in your life. And we would hope even more sanctified, the bad things. Anything bad that's come to you has not come to you unless it's come through God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They've already come through them for whatever gets to you. So that's a sanctified trial. No matter what it is, physical, spiritual, whatever it might be, understand that because God loves you. He sent you this. That's hard for us to comprehend. Ain't so hard. The good stuff, that's not so hard to comprehend. The bad stuff that we call bad stuff, that's hard for us to comprehend. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that's what that is. And if the Bible says it, I want you to believe it. And in believing it, you're going to find some peace about that. And there shouldn't be many times in our lives we don't have peace if we understand the depth of what is contained in just that one scripture. And we know that all things work together for good. Not just work together. They're working together for my good. They're making me more like Jesus Christ. That's what that means. That's what good really means, because we will read in another portion, well, in just a little bit, that we're being conformed to the image of Christ. That's what good, being made good, is. We're being made more like Christ. In other words, we look more like Jesus than we did yesterday because of these sanctified trials, all things that come into our lives for our good. Because we are those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. God called you, and He has purpose in that. He said, I didn't just call you just to just run around here and then, you know, I'm going to bring you home one day. He said, I have purpose for you. Just like I had purpose for my son. What was the purpose for a son coming into the world? Do the will of God. Amen. So I can tell you right off the bat that one of the purposes that He called you for is to do the will of God. And ultimately, whatever your calling is, it's going to do that. It's going to be doing the will of God. It's going to glorify Him if we're doing what we're called to do. So we've been called to a purpose. And then it says in verse 29 that we might understand how all this works together. Now you listen. I want you to pay attention to the EDs on this. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestinated, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Amen. Glorified. Amen. Are we in heaven yet, brother?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, we going, ain't we? He said He did. God said, what I began, I'm going to finish. We heard it in several different portions of the Word of God. He said, I have purpose. I'm not a haphazard God that just blindly saves people, or I can't hardly save anybody unless I get some help to save them. That's not the God of the Bible. God of the Bible has purpose. And He ordains as it pleases Him. Those that are being saved every day are because God's calling them out of darkness into His marvelous light by His power. And you know why He does that? So that we can't boast that I got saved because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes that away from us. And the reason He does that is because we're to glorify His name. And He said in a portion of His Word, I'm a jealous God and I will not give my glory to another. So if you think you can glorify God other than what He's blessed you to be, quit thinking that. You can't do it. The predestination. People have a hard time. The foreknowledge. God knows everything. He's been knowing it since the beginning. And there is no beginning. He's always known everything. God, there's some things that God cannot do. He can't learn anything because He knows everything. Right. All right. So you understand that. He knows everything. Knows everything about you, about everybody else. Everything that's going to happen, everything that has happened, is happening right now and is going to happen. God foreknew that. He already knew it was going to happen. Right. So He throws in here concerning us this wonderful word that some snarl at when you talk about it. Predestination. Oh, you one of those people. You believe God predestinates everything. I am one of those people. I believe God has a purpose for all things. Listen to what predestination is talking about here. literally to mark out a point or determine beforehand. That's simply what predestination means. Pre is before. Destined is a destiny or a place. So he, as it says in here, mark out a point or determine beforehand. God determined beforehand who would be saved to heaven's pure world. God's predestination. Whom he foreknew, he also predestinated for a purpose to be conformed to the image of his son. Now it's not going to be like we're going to be on the face of the earth all of our life and live to be 150 years old, which I hope I don't live to be 150 years old. And then we're going to get right up to heaven's gates and we're going to pop open like a thing of biscuits and we're going to be all conformed to the image of Christ. No, it's going on right now. It's going on right now. Everything that happens to you, everything that comes in your life today, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has ordained it to be in your life to conform you to Jesus Christ. And if you're not conforming to Jesus Christ, I got news for you. It ain't going nowhere. If you got 95% of you look like Jesus Christ, and ain't nobody in here that much, we just give him a little credit there. And 5% of you doesn't look like Jesus Christ, what do you reckon God's going to focus on? Oh, look at that 95%. Oh, he looks so much like Jesus. I'm just going to let that other go. He concentrating on that 5%. Joey, get it out. Spit it out. Repent of it. Not leaving you alone until you do it. And the reason I'm not leaving you alone, I love you too much. You're my son, and I want people to see you as a son. Or you're my daughter, and I want you to see, I want the world to see what a daughter of the true and living God looks like. What a privilege.
Amen.
What a privilege that God has done. So he's predestinated us. He's called us. He's justified us. We've talked a lot about that. But those that he justified, it's not going to end there. Those he also glorified. Christ is coming again. Without sin, the Bible says. Not as a lowly servant. Because he came the first time. But as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there'll no one be on his level. In fact, they'll be way, way down. But they'll know him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible claims that every knee, not just us, not just us who love him so, but the ungodly will bow, and I don't know whether it'll be through clenched teeth or whatever it'll be, but they're going to say that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
They're going to confess him.
Amen.
They're going to know who he is. Not going to do him any good, but they're going to know who he is.
Amen.
And if we're still here, he's going to suck us up. With the church that's already gone on before, we'll be with the Lord forevermore. That's how I believe it's going to end. I may not know what I'm talking about, but it don't matter. You know what the most important thing is all this I've been reading today, that you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only question you need to answer in your heart today, are you Jesus's? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is Christ your Lord and Savior? It don't matter what the end times are going to be. That's what I tell folks, because I'm not smart enough to figure that out. I tell them, you know what? The only thing that matters is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? God bless us. What a wonderful God that we have that has loved us, and look at the pains that he's taken to ensure that we'll be saved. That once he began that work, we see, and he wrote it out for us that we can read it every day if we want to. If you're unsure of your salvation, look in the Word of God and read it and see if any of that is resonating in your life. And if it's not resonating in your life, come see me. We'll talk about it. We'll get down on our hands and knees and we'll beg God to save you. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. God bless you all. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.